This is a rain replay from 2005.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the week beginning November 19th, 2005, this is the Rain Report, the weekly audio ham radio programming service of Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ. Walk around a ham fest or the next meeting of your local radio club, and chances are you'll overhear a discussion that may have been initiated by someone asking this question.
What does amateur radio have to be to interest a 14-year-old boy or girl today?
That was Steve Bible, N7HPR. Steve has been the vice president of TAPR, the Tucson Amateur Packet Radio Association, forever. He's also knee-deep in the AMSAT SuitSat project. His observations about ham radio's future and the involvement of youngsters in it are worth a listen. Here's part one of Hap Holly, KC9RP's conversation with Steve, talking about the present and future of kids in ham radio.
Think about ham radio 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years ago, if you like. It just depends upon how long you've been involved in the hobby. Most people that I run into at conferences and ham fests that are really what you would call a lifelong ham most likely got involved in ham radio as a young teenager. So I came up with an exercise to kind of help with this topic, and it's something that I suggest people, when they get together, have this conversation and see what comes from it. Let's go back 10 years, which would be 1996, or if you want to go back 20 years, be 1986. If we go back to 1986, which is 20 years ago, what was the state of ham radio then? It was quite a dynamic time, 1986, probably the most predominant and newly upcoming mode of communications was packet radio. Everybody was learning about it. Everybody was really excited about it. We were also starting to see radios become all transistorized. The day of the tube radios or the tube transistor radios was waning. Now they were going to all transistor. They were going to smaller. So what you could do is think back 20 years or just pick a time and just describe what ham radio was like during that time. And what's also fun is if you have back issues of ham radio magazines, of QST or CQ or ham radio, open them up and take a look and page through them and look at the advertisements. Let's stay for the moment in 1986. Let's be this group conversation in 1986 and say to ourselves, gee, I wonder where ham radio will be 20 years from now, 2006. You can probably remember what you were like and what you were thinking and what you were doing back in 1986. Would you had imagined amateur radio becoming what it is today? And some of the really exciting things that are happening today are software-defined radio, internet-type linking, IRLP, we got Echolink. Well over 50 amateur satellites have been launched. Could we have predicted all of those things back in 1986? And the answer is generally, you know, no. Nobody would have ever predicted those things happening. Probably wouldn't have had even the slightest idea that the internet was going to be the big thing in 1995 when it went commercial and the effects that it had on the hobby. Okay, so now you can see from the perspective of 1986, projecting forward 20 years, this is quite interesting. This is quite exhilarating that I can see the pace and the direction that ham radio went over the course of 20 years. Let's get back to the present. Now we're in 2006, and now we're going to take that same group of people, have the same conversation, and say to ourselves, okay, now let's project out 20 years. Where is ham radio going to be 20 years from now? And if you remember, you know, when we were in 1986 and we saw to that future, things that just literally blow your mind, you know, you just absolutely have no idea that those kinds of things would happen. Now you can see yourself in the present looking forward to 2026. And you know it's going to be as mind-blowing as it is now, that there's going to be some incredible things happening, that there's going to be some exciting new things happening that hams will be doing in 2026. Have that conversation with your friends or strike up that conversation at a ham fest or a conference or even at the water fountain with your fellow hams at work. But I think you can agree that it's very difficult to predict that future and very difficult to say exactly what's going to happen to ham radio. Okay, so now you can have this conversation with your friends and look forward to 20 years from now, having been back in 1986 looking to 2006.
You're listening to the thoughts of Steve Bible, N7HPR, VP of Tapper and One Ham, who has given considerable thought to the need to present ham radio to kids on their level. This is the RAIN Report.
You're listening to TheRainReport.com.
Now, as you're going through this exercise, looking forward 20 years to 2026, you're invariably going to have somebody in the audience that's going to say, well, you know, ham radio is probably not going to even be around then. Even in our conversation in 1986, we probably said the same thing. We said, you know what, ham radio is dying. We're not getting the young people involved. Television is sucking their young kids away, and video games is taking kids away and stuff like that. But as we can see from 1986 to 2006, ham radio evolved. It adapted, and it's lively, so to speak. In other words, for those that are really into ham radio as a hobby, there are plenty of things, there's plenty of excitement, there's some great things going on to keep people engaged in the hobby. Now, with that said, you can look at ham populations, you can look at demographics, you can look at ages and stuff like that. Now, if you want to start having an argument about ham radio is dying and it's demising, why not take the conversation saying, how do we build the hobby? How do we get youngsters involved in the hobby? And here's another exercise to help you with this conversation. For example, Hap, let's use you for an example. At what age did you become a ham?
14.
I've had this conversation with quite a few people, and it's amazing how many lifelong hams have become hams, usually in the ages of 12 to 14. It's kind of amazing to me that when they're young teenagers, that they get involved in ham radio and they become lifelong hams. Now, at age 14, what was it about amateur radio that really excited you at age 14?
It was the possibility of being able to communicate with folks around the country, even around the world.
Exactly. And probably for today, 2006, if we go back 20 or so years for most hams, and if we say the ham population is aging, we say typical 50 to 60 year old ham, DX was the really big thing, the really big draw to ham radio. Now, of course, we can fast forward to today and try as you may getting a youngster today interested in ham radio for that very same reason tends to not work. It kind of depends because, you know, you can't go up to a youngster today and brag, you know, hey, I can talk to somebody in Russia, because that youngster is going to pull out their cell phone and dial up Russia. And they don't have to go to your home, which has got a 100-foot tower and a 20-meter beam up in the air. So there's a wow factor that got us all involved in ham radio, and there's a wow factor that keeps us involved with ham radio even today. For the hams that continue with the hobby, many of them stick with what really interested them. DXing, for example. There's a lot of contest DXers today and lifelong contest DXers. And then you got the hams that basically go from one neat idea to the next, and they're always exploring with the new facets of ham radio. The question then becomes, what does ham radio have to look like today in order to interest a young teenage person? Now, I have to help this along because a lot of people that I've had this conversation with will sit there and say, well, you know, it's DX. No, that's what interested you when you were 14 years old long ago. Now you're going to have to go through this exercise of describing what ham radio has to be, look, feel, smell, taste like in order to draw these people in. You have to think back to your time when you were a youngster and what drawed you in and what was the excitement, what really made ham radio your hobby. What would it take for ham radio to be today to interest a 14-year-old boy or girl today? it becomes a very, very interesting conversation at that point. Here's one rule. You cannot mold the child to ham radio. In other words, oh, the kid should be interested in CW. No, that's the wrong way. You don't lead the horse to water and try to make it drink. You're going to interest the child in the hobby because the hobby has something to offer them and something that's interesting, something that wants to get them engaged with it. Too many times I've had this conversation with other hams, and they keep describing a ham radio that was their era ham radio that got them involved. You really need to gather a bunch of 14-year-old boys and girls and ask them what amateur radio would have to be, what it would have to look like in order to interest them today. That, quite frankly, is the answer to that discussion, is what ham radio has to be today and in the future in order to draw new people, to draw new youngsters. Partly what I'm saying is that amateur radio has to evolve. Too many people are trying to keep ham radio in a little time capsule back in their day when it wowed them, and they're trying to impress that time capsule on a child today, and it doesn't work.
That was Tapper Vice President Steve Bible, N7HPR, expressing his thoughts about what it takes to make amateur radio relevant to young people today. Hap Holly will continue his conversation with Steve next time. The Rain Report is copyright 2005, Rain, all rights reserved. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ.